time for the best 5 minutes of the day. And for that, we get on the phone line here, Dr. Jason Kanz from jasonkanz.com. Good morning. And we got him on the wrong line. Here we go. Let's try it again. Good morning.
Good morning.
All right, there we go. That's a little bit better. Hey, congratulations. She's prophetic, by the way. She's talked about four books. Three as how many I think you have your credit. But anyhow, that was about the only flaw I could find in the terrific podcast interview that you're a part of, Voice of Influence. And did it just come out yesterday?
It just came out yesterday. So, and I think her referring to the four books is the Notes from the Upper Room and the Devotional as separate books. So I think that's why she said four. But yeah, so I knew it was coming. You know, I think it was 3 weeks ago we did the podcast interview, and Andrea Wenberg, who has, I think, a great podcast on leadership called Voice of Influence, asked me to come on and talk about wholeness. So that was a really neat opportunity, and it came out yesterday.
Yeah, absolutely. I thought I had posted it on my page, and I guess I was just busy trying to listen to it whenever I could, including finishing up this morning, because I guess it goes about an hour, right? Close to that.
Yeah, I think 45 minutes, like that. And so it turned out really well, I thought.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's called Be a Voice for Wholeness and Human Flourishing. And it's good. Well, I want to share it at least on my page, if maybe on the Whip Wake Up Show page. I mean, we'll do it. And I mean, you're on here daily. It's part of the Whip Wake Up Show. You're in the Whip Wake Up Show podcast. So we're proud of you.
Sure.
I think one of the questions there, because people get you here on the radio. I mean, these words, we've talked about them multiple times, wholeness, integration. But as she asked you about your story, your journey, like when did you come to this recognition that things needed to change? And pursue this, and I just told you as we were coming on the air, it's kind of become one of your defining stories. So take us to that point, when you got the wake up call.
Yeah, so I had said that sometimes we move toward this desire for wholeness either through real intentional work or through crisis. And for me, it was a crisis moment in 2018 when my daughter Grace, who was, I think, 18 at the time, was at church, and I had seen her across the lobby kiss her boyfriend on the cheek before he left the building. And I pulled her aside into a room, and I just dressed her down. I mean, I was angry, and I said, "Don't ever make me look badly again." And I was just really upset. And she went and spent the day with another friend of ours and came back and basically shared what I have referred to, and this is not what she called it, but it was the 27 ways you suck as a father. And it was...
Ouch.
but it was a list of things that she had said, "You're not a safe person. I don't like being home when you're there." And it literally drove me to the floor in tears. It crushed me. And I thought, this is not the person that I want to be. If one of the most important people in my life sees me this way, something has to change. And so that was really a defining moment, I think, in terms of upending my world.
And at that point, you hadn't, I mean, what pointed you toward wholeness?
Well, you know, I think that that was the dismantling event.
Yeah.
And, you know, it was kind of this notion that I talk a lot about wanting people to really bask in grace, mm-hmm. you know, the notion of grace, not my daughter.
Yeah.
But you know, wanting people to really understand God's love. And I wasn't, that message was not being communicated. So I was living really different messages. What I was saying and what I was doing were not jiving.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that for me became part of this journey toward wholeness. What does it look like to live authentically? What does it look to live as a person consistent on the inside and the outside? And that, I think, really is where that turn toward wholeness and wanting to integrate those parts of who I said I was in my real life.
Why did her kissing her boyfriend on the cheek make you so mad?
No idea. I think because it was, you know, as I've reflected on it, I think part of it was I was afraid of the judgment other people in the church might have of me at the time. I was a prominent leader in the church, and, you know, there was this, there were people who said, you know, I didn't even kiss my boyfriend before I got married. And here she was, you know, the dating who is now her fiance, and I had thought, this is going to make me look badly as a leader if I can't even keep my daughter under control, mm-hmm. which really is a yucky thing to even say out loud still. But I think there was really a concern about that, how it reflected on me.
Mm. And yet, I mean, even at that time, it just and that book that's become so defining, and I was reading it out loud to Peggy last night because I'm like, enough is enough. I need to read this book from A to Z. Wholeheartedness, busyness, exhaustion, and healing the divided self. That, if that was your turning point, that's become a defining book in your turn, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And again, I think because it there that healing the divided self piece of Chuck DeGroat's book has been, I think, what we're all called to more and more. I think that's what our goal is in life. I think mm-hmm. as we become sanctified, I think it is really becoming whole people. You know, the connection between wholeness and holiness is profound. And, you know, I think that's the journey of life. And I think Chuck does a really good job of kind of touching on that.
And then lastly, I'm just got to at least touch on this from Matthew 5, where Jesus says, we've heard it translated. And this is tragically unfortunate. We've heard it translated, mm-hmm. be perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect. But you would contend, and we need to just pursue this tomorrow, it's more yeah. rightly understood, be whole as your Heavenly Father is whole. And that can make all the difference in the world.
Yes, indeed. And I think part of it is just what the word perfect conjures up mm-hmm. for us.
Yes, absolutely. So let's talk about that tomorrow in terms of living authentically as contrasted with living in pursuit of perfection.
Right.
Thank you.
Sounds good. Talk to you tomorrow.
Bye-bye. All right, there we go. Hey, there you go. We've got a plan for tomorrow. All right, WWIB, you know, on the political scene, I mean, the thing that everybody's waiting for these days is, they call it the biggest parlor game in Washington, which is, who is Joe Biden going to choose as his running mate? And apparently he's in the final interviews now.
He's so close he can smell it.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness.
And I've heard, you know, as many as, he's indicated it's going to be a woman. And in this particular year, I mean, a lot of people saying it should be an African-American woman. The thing is, what's going on behind the scenes that I find interesting is that because it's taken so long, and certainly there's activity going on from the different candidates and their camps kind of mm-hmm. slipping it out, rolling it out to the media, like, you know, so-and-so said something positive about Scientology. And all of a sudden, that's out there. That happened to Karen Bass, the congresswoman from California. There's a quote this morning where... this, to me, says Bass will not be his choice. Here's the quote. I'm not a communist, says Karen Bass. I mean, you just don't. That's just not helpful.
No, we would. Yeah.
Because apparently
I mean, the fact that you have to deny that. Might.
Exactly. Right.
It's a problem.
So I thought, what if we were on the short list, not for Biden, but to be
a candidate?
Yeah, to a candidate. And we had to roll out some things about the other. And we were all the prospect for that position.
Like why we shouldn't vote for our cohorts.
It might be kind of fun.
We're about to witness the fracturing of the Liberal Gut Show.
Can our friendships survive this?
I think they can.
So,
Hillary. Mark drives too fast.
Yeah. Ah, nice!
Yeah, so you'd get me on speeding tickets. Yeah, that's for sure. See,
I would say Caleb's homeschooled.
I am proud of it.
Now, for some, that would be certainly...
that would be positive.
Very
but for
positive.
Many, they'd be like, oh.
Others would be like, oh okay.
Oh.
All right, this is your idea. Hit us, Mark.
Okay.
All right, let's see. Yeah. I mean, Hillary's high school nickname was Hodag.
That's right. I was a Hodag honey.
Mm-hmm.
No, that was in high school. That was what my husband called me.
I don't know. Maybe for Caleb, I would say, like, nobody could be that clean. There's got to be something on him.
He's kind of goody-two-shoes-ish. Love you, man.
Who do I have to think? Oh, I have to think of something for Hillary.
Yeah, you can do this. It's like the ultimate roast. I have to think of something for Mark, too.
Yeah.
I mean, he lived in
Hillary
Africa.
Hillary can't stay off coffee.
Oh, you're
yeah, right,
so
she's
right.
She's back. She's back on
she
it.
She says as she reaches for her
absolutely.
Mug and takes
I was like,
a long
oh,
pull.
Where'd it go? It's like my whoopee. Yeah, I need my coffee. Mark lived in Africa. I don't know. What do I say about Mark? He's so political. He's too political.
He's too political.
He's too political.
But if for a political job, that would be
I know.
A good thing.
You would think.
Yeah. Anyhow, it's kind of the fun behind the scenes going
oh,
on.
Goodness.
I suppose other people can participate too if they want to come up with some stuff and
yeah.
text it to us.
What would we say about the others? Somehow keep them from getting the position we want.
Hawk Nelson is making diamonds here, and we can make some diamonds of our own as we take some trials and tribulations and turn them into beauty and healing. And someone who helps people do that every day is Miss Paula Peterson. She is a counselor with the Clinic for Christian Counseling. Good morning, Paula.
Good morning. I'm honored to be here.
Yeah, we're again. So happy to have you. Now, you're back. We're calling this a Wellness Wednesday, and we're going to focus in a little bit on some mental health. And today's topic of conversation is anxiety. It seems to be a lot of that going around lately, huh?
Yes, it's very high. All of us are experiencing it. It's just a matter of if we're going to be honest about it or not.
All right. So you're seeing a lot of this in your own practice?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What I'm noticing is that the pandemic, the unknown with school, the unknown if I'm going to get sick, am I going to make other people sick? And the constant changes are just very scary. We don't know what's happening. And we don't have that foundation like we thought we had prior to, you know, mid-March.
So, Paula, I've heard kind of some talk about an anxiety attack. So can you define that for us? And then part B is, like, if someone was to have one, what would you encourage them to do?
Yeah, good question. An anxiety attack would be anxiety just in a very intense form where your body, your mind, it's definitely you get into a fight or flight. Your body is just overwhelmed with not being able to think straight, just feeling sometimes people feel like they might be having a heart attack, like they're not going to be able to get through whatever it is that they're experiencing. And if that's something that you're experiencing, I would definitely encourage people to reach out and get help. If that's through counseling, reach out to any lay ministers, lay counselors, and share what's going on. Share it with safe people.
But short of that,
support.
But short of that, in the immediate moment,
oh,
so
yes.
You recognize it. Like, do you have breathe deeply, or what do you just tell people?
Yes, definitely. So we talked last time I was here about the importance of the body. Our body is where the anxiety is coming from. Of course, our mind too. And so, deep breathing, getting out of situations can be helpful. Sometimes not possible. Definitely recognizing where the anxiety is coming from and seeking to speak to that. So we might have to spend some time looking inward, which isn't always comfortable because we don't always know what exactly is happening. But sitting with that, being honest about that, speaking about that can help expose what's really going on, and then being able to speak God's truth. David actually did that in Psalm 42. He was like, you know, soul, why are you downcast? What's going on inside of you? And then he used God's truth, God's promises to speak to that. And that's the exact, pattern that I would take if I was speaking to somebody who has a panic attack.
Visiting with Paula Peterson this morning about anxiety. We'll be right back to talk some more about this very, very important topic.
Back here on the WIB Wake Up Show with Paula Peterson from the Clinic for Christian Counseling. We are talking about anxiety today here on WWIB. And Paula, focusing just for a moment on the younger members of many families too, because again, kids are not immune from everything going on in the news, from the stresses that are coming on to their parents, and also as we approach what would normally be the start date for school, what that's going to look like. So I think there are going to be a lot of anxieties in children. How would you address that, both the ones that might be overt, but also sometimes hidden?
Yeah, good question. First of all, recognizing that the kiddos are going to have the emotion and it is going to look different than ours. And so making space for them to share is really helpful. But not every kid is a sharing type. But definitely making that space, asking what they think about school. Do you want to go back? All those kind of questions, and just making that space. But also recognizing if they're getting, you know, more irritable than usual, allowing for a space to have more grace for them, because this is more challenging than what we're used to, and recognizing that, you know, if they're maybe hitting their brother or sister, that might not just be about anger. There might be more going on, and so obviously have consequences, expectations, boundaries, but also having space to just say, hey kiddo, like, what's going on? Like, mm-hmm. How are you feeling today? and not just come down with that heavy, heavy hand, really having space to hear their heart. If you're willing.
I think it's interesting, you know, you talk about irritability, maybe that is an anxiety thing. You hear about kids with, you know, stomach aches and things like that. Other things you should be watching for in your kids that you may not realize is anxiety, but could potentially be.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Anger is one, like you talked about, the physical health issues. Actually, depression can be a mask for it, too, because we get in so high anxiety and then our body just goes into that flight, that shutdown, freeze kind of space. And so sometimes kids can just kind of want to disappear, want to go away. But then also the, you know, just like us in adults, addiction can be one, you know, video games, you know, turning to food, turning to things that in a repetitive manner. Can also be another sign that there's something else going on.
Paula Peterson from the Clinic for Christian Counseling. Driving. Yes, driving.
Can't be too careful. A lot of bad drivers out there.
Well, we don't want to be one of them. And there's some annoying habits that drivers can sometimes manifest, right?
Indeed. My top, I would just say, is when I'm behind the wheel but my husband thinks he's driving. That's... Mm. It's right up there.
I don't know if that one's on the list, but probably could be. Their Consumer Reports National Research Center asked almost 900 Americans to rate the most annoying driving habits. Yes. So maybe introspection here and kind of say, if I'm doing those things.
Yeah.
Not bad.
Learn. Right.
Well, and can we all just say we've probably all been guilty of these at one point or another?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very true.
Mm-hmm. All right. Here we go. Number 10, not using turn signals. Mm-hmm. I try to be a stickler. Sometimes it happens.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, I do my best. And that's the thing. There are times when I've been very, very tired and I find myself perhaps drifting into another lane. And then you quick put on the turn signal. It's like, yep, I meant to do that.
Right.
Number nine, most annoying driving habits, leaving high beams on when another car approaches. Oh, I've accidentally done that. I don't mean to, but I have.
But what do you do when like a vehicle is coming towards you and they're doing that? And somebody's got high beams.
I'll flash them a little bit. Yeah.
I've heard mixed reports about that, though. Some said you're not supposed to flash them with your high beams. That's why
I think you can do it politely.
I think you can do it politely because sometimes you just forget that you have
them on. You don't like rock it back and just blast them with your high beams, but it's just kind of like a little
hey, remember?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Number eight, not letting someone else merge.
Hate that one. Number seven, talking on the phone while driving.
Most annoying driving habits here in the Wib Wake Up Show. Number six, parking in two spaces instead of one.
Yeah, that one has bugged me over the years, seeing that. Number five, swerving in and out of traffic and speeding.
I saw somebody do this. Okay, so I was coming back from church, and I was in downtown Rice Lake, and there was a guy just like speeding in and out of traffic. The speed limit's like 30 on Main Street. Like, you're not going to get anywhere very fast.
My heart is so like, please have an officer, please identify this driver, get him pulled over.
Right. So. Number four, did I already say that? Drivers that cut off others.
Not nice.
Yeah, don't cut off drivers.
With that, tailgating, most annoying driving habits. Number three.
Number two, parking in handicapped spaces when able-bodied.
Don't do it.
Don't do it. And the number one annoying thing, texting while driving.
Can I?
Don't do it.
As long as we're just griping just a little bit on this.
Yeah, go, man.
Is it bad of me to be annoyed when I'm at a light, and if I don't go instantly, and I'm not taking a lot of people's time, but when someone like lays on the horn just because I don't start up instantaneously when it turns green, it's like I'm not like just sitting there playing on my phone. Like if I just don't start up right away, and you
some
have to
people
just lay
are
on
just a
horn,
little more hot to trot. Yeah,
the way I've tried to counter all of that is if when that happens and somebody doesn't go right away in front of me, give them patience, and then also if it takes a little long, just very lightly.
A little toot.
Just a little bit as opposed
to. Bob Linder corrects me, and he says, the speed limit's 25 in town, Caleb. So maybe I was the one who was going too fast, Bob.
Uh-huh,
maybe. On the WWIB Facebook page the other day, we said, hey, if you could only choose two pizza toppings, what would they be? And got all sorts of responses. Very interesting kind of seeing what you
people
all would
choose.
Pepperoni is very popular.
It is.
Some folks just said, hey, I'm going to go full-on Wisconsin extra cheese. Just load it up. Well, we found favorite pizza toppings around the world, not necessarily limited to two. But again, pretty universal that people love pizza, not so universal what they love on it.
Yes.
In the good U.S. of A, favorite pizza toppings, pepperoni, mushrooms, sausage, green pepper, onion, and extra cheese. Sounds like a supreme to
me. I can see it, yeah. Now, in the Netherlands, they have the double Dutch, which is double meat, double cheese, double onion.
I'm okay. Doubling down on that.
Absolutely. I don't have a problem with that.
Costa Rica, coconut.
I've not ever
Would you put that on like coconut. A pineapple, like pineapple and Canadian bacon and coconut or something? Like just straight up coconut on the pizza, dessert pizza maybe, but.
Yeah. Australia, now this I might try.
Okay.
I could see this grilled. Australia is shrimp, pineapple, and barbecue sauce.
On a grilled
yes,
pizza?
Please. Yes.
That would be very interesting. So,
I see that in our future,
favorite
actually.
Favorite pizza toppings around the world, Pakistan, curry.
Huh.
Okay.
Curry pizza. France is a flambé with bacon, onion, and fresh cream. Not so sure, but I like it better than the Japan option.
I like the bacon. Yeah, the Japan option.
Yeah.
It's mayo yaga, which is mayonnaise, potato, and bacon.
Okay, that's not so bad.
Not crazy, but yeah, you top that with eel and squid.
Not my favorite.
Hopefully dead before they put them on there. Still a little...
You don't know.
I don't really like slimy pizza toppings.
No. Brazil is green peas. That's
healthy.
Interesting. Yeah.
Russia's favorite pizza toppings, makba, a combination of sardines, tuna, mackerel, salmon, and onions, plus red herring.
Okay. In India, their top is pickled ginger, minced mutton, and paneer, which is a form of cottage cheese.
Okay, so for most of these, I don't know that I really would go for it. But you do you, world.
Because culture.
Here's
but,
the thing.
Yeah.
It's the things that, you know, it's the things that make us different are beautiful, but we have things that bring us together as well, like pizza.
Indeed.
So even if we like a little bit different things on your pizza than mine, we can still have that commonality that we love pizza.
Mr. McAllister, here's your very own cheese pizza.
Hey, this is Caleb from the WIB Wake Up Show. Thanks so much for taking a listen to this. You can catch the show live weekday mornings 5:30 to 9 a.m. on 103.7 FM out of Eau Claire, 94.3 FM in Wausau, 93.5 in Marshfield, 93.7 FM in La Crosse, and anywhere at WWIB.com or via the TuneIn radio app or your Amazon Alexa and Google Home devices.